could just have you to stand if you wouldn't mind doing that. I know you just got done standing for a few minutes here, but it is so great to have Brother and Sister Jacobs from Prairie du Chien with us. I love and appreciate this couple. How many of you, when you go to camp, you see the gals up there doing all the videoing, and Brother Jacobs is out in the control center, out off to the side of the tabernacle. They take care of their over media missions in the state of Wisconsin, and they do all the videoing and editing and all of that of all of the district events. And above and beyond that, they're just good, solid folks. We've learned, we've done a lot of work projects together up at camp, the Jacobs family, and we love you so much, Brother and Sister Jacobs. I appreciate your friendship, brother. And it's just an honor to have him here today to preach to us. So let's welcome Brother Scott Jacobs.
Praise the Lord, everyone. Amen. Isn't God great today? Can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody do me like the Lord. Is this on? Has anybody ever been in a situation and at the end of the day you said, I can't nobody do me like Jesus? Anybody ever look at the end of the day and say, hey, Monday, I'm still here. Can't nobody do me like the Lord. Praise God. It's good to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen. If you are excited to be in the house of the presence of the Lord, amen, would you clap your hands and shout with a mighty voice of triumph. Thank Him for what He has done in your life. Thank Him for His goodness. Thank Him for His mercy. Thank Him for His love. Thank Him that He's never failed you. Thank you. He's never forsaken you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 God is good. It's an honor to be here. Amen. Don't you have a great pastor and his wife? Amen. I don't know where she is, but amen. He's as real as it gets. I'm so glad to be in the house of the Lord today. It is an honor to be here. It is an honor to be among God's people. Amen. They are God's people. Amen. Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61, beginning at verse number 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim the liberty of the captives, to open the door of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, and to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. That He might be glorified. I come to talk to you this morning about the planted tree. The planted tree. Would you lift your voice one more time to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Father, we ask you, Lord Jesus, hallelujah, Father, as you speak to us today, God, let your will be done, Lord Jesus, God. Here am I today, Lord Jesus. Let me hear your words. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. Amen. Amen. It was the year 1809, and the world was following with weighted anticipation of the news that would come back from the war that was going on as Napoleon continued to wage on. One battle after another battle, as he began to push and fight against the armies of that particular time. Many men had lost their battles. The war was bloody. Families lost loved ones, children, parents. It continued to wage on, and people would wonder if it would end as another battle would pursue. War of bloodshed would continue to go on and wonder about the gruesomeness and what was going to happen as we continued to wait in anticipation. And while war was raging on and it seemed as if there would be no end, during this time in 1809, there were babies that were being born. Among the babies that were born in 1809 was one called William Gladstone. Born in 1809, and he became the first elected parliament in 1832. He also became prime minister in 1868. Another one born in 1809 was Alfred Tennyson. Tennyson was a poet, and it is said that he is the ninth most frequently quoted writer in the Oxford Dictionary of Quotations, being born while the battle and war was raging. Another individual born in 1809 was Oliver Wendell Holmes. In a small village of Kentucky, a neighbor was asking, "What's going on? What's happening in the village?" "Nothing at all, nothing at all," he replied, "except a new baby that was born to Tom Lincoln's house. Nothing ever happens here." And in 1809, Abraham Lincoln was born. Considered to be one of the greatest presidents of the United States of America, born in the midst of battles, born in the midst of blood, born in the midst of, as the war continued to rage and go on, in the midst of what appeared to be the most devastating time, new life was giving to someone else. The scripture tells us that we are trees planted of the Lord. We are God's doing. When Paul was writing to the Roman church, he said to them, "Can the thing that is formed say to the one who made it, 'What have you made of me? What have you done in my life? Why have you caused this to be?'" We need to learn and understand that we are nothing more than vessels that are to be used of God to the glory of God, to bring honor to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. No matter what life may bring our way, no matter what happens in life, I want us to know that at the end of the day, we can all stand and say, "To God still be the glory." Because while the war is raging on, there are babies that are being born. While the war is going on and while life seems to be taking its toll, there's something that's beginning to birth in somebody else's life because they're watching you, because they're viewing you. They're seeing how your faith will endure. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost here today. I said, I feel the Holy Ghost here today. We got to understand something here today. At the end of it all, this thing started with God, and this thing is going to end with God. And the only thing that I have to do with it is my part in the middle. And I'm going to be a vessel that is honor to Him. So whether you're in the war or whether you're being born, I'm here to tell you, it doesn't matter what's going on, because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. don't know if you know what you were getting, but I feel it here today. I feel the Holy Ghost here today. We question God, and we wonder why, and we ask ourselves all of these questions. If you're not careful, church, you will question yourself out of your faith in God, out of your belief in God, and you will find yourself standing all alone and wonder where God is. David said, "Return unto me the joy of my salvation." Listen to what I'm saying today. The joy of our salvation is not about how happy I am in life, in my condition. It's about Him. It's about who He is and what He's done for me. Is anybody still happy they're saved? Is anybody still happy they come to church? Would you worship the Lord? Hallelujah. So while the battle goes and we question, we don't realize that back home somewhere, babies are being born. Babies are being born. I love the old gospel songs. If I never had a problem, I wouldn't know that He could solve them. I wouldn't know what faith in God could do. So let's just go through it all. I will learn to trust in Jesus. Through it all, I will depend upon His word. Though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. When young Benjamin was being born, it was a horrible condition in which hard labor begin to come and impact this family. And in Genesis 35 and 17 and 18, it tells the story that in the midst of the hard pain, Mama died. Before she died, she was able to utter the words, "Call my son this." And this is what it says. "It came to pass that as her soul was departing, for she died, she said, 'Call his name Benoni. Benoni.' Benoni means son of my sorrow." Be careful what you call your situation. Be careful what you call your condition. Because Daddy stepped in and said, no, he will not be called Benoni. He will be called Benjamin. And Benjamin means this, the son of my right hand authority. I don't care what we think we're going through right now. I don't care what our problems are. As long as God is still blessing me, it may look gloom and doom, but I still have the authority of God in my life. I still have the power of God in my life. You be careful what you call your situation. You be careful what you're naming him. You be careful how you're looking at him, because God sees it a little bit different. Let me tell you why God sees it different. Because why you're going through the war, and why you're going through the battle, and why you're going through what appears to be hell on earth, there's some baby that is watching you, that is going to be born, that is going to be born, because they're watching your faith in God. And they're watching your endurance. And if I can destroy my own children by my poor choices, then I can destroy the godly young people and children who are following me in the church by my poor decisions. When I was in church as a young boy, I used to hear people stand up and testify. And one of the testimonies would be, I had somebody come to me and tell me, call him by name, "I just don't know how you do it.
I know you got problems. I know your family's a mess. I know your job situation is not good. I know your health is poor. I just don't know how you can still smile. I just don't know how you can still endure and not be so distorted and go into alcoholism and all that other kind of... I just don't know how you do it. And they would say, I would tell them it's because of Jesus. I would tell them it's because of Him. But I don't hear anybody saying that anymore. Because we become a world of complainers instead of a world of praisers. Oh, God, help us.
Rachel Spanford was a successful lawyer and businessman in Chicago with a lovely family, his wife Anna, and he had 5 children. But however, they were not strangers to tears and tragedy. Their young son died pneumonia in 1871, and that same year, much of their business was lost in the Great Chicago Fire. Yet God, in His mercy and kindness, allowed the business to once again flourish. And on November 21st, 1873, a French ocean liner was crossing the Atlantic from the U.S. to Europe. Among the passengers was Anna and their 4 daughters. Although Mr. Spanford was planning to go on with the family, he found it necessary to stay in Chicago to help solve some unexpected business problems. He told his wife that he would soon join them on the next trip a few days later. Roughly about 4 days into the journey crossing the Atlantic, the ship collided with a powerful iron ship, and suddenly all of those aboard were in grave danger. Within approximately 12 minutes of the collision, the ship went down and slipped beneath the dark waters of the Atlantic, carrying with it 226 passengers, including the 4 children. A sailor was rowing a small boat over the spot where the ship went down and spotted a woman who was floating on a piece of wreckage, and it was Anna. She was still alive. He pulled her into the boat, and they were picked up by another large vessel 9 days later. And when they landed in Wales, she wired her husband a message which began, "Saved alone, what shall I do?" Mr. Spanford booked the next passage on the next available ship, and he left and joined his grieving wife. And when the ship was about 4 days out, the captain called Spanford to his cabin and told him that they were over the place where his children went down and drowned. According to Bertha Spanford, a daughter that was born after the tragedy, Spanford began to write these words as the ship was crossing the area where his family went down. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Would you let that sink in right now? Would you let the Holy Ghost minister to you right now? There's too many times in life when we think that we need an entitlement. God, I don't deserve this. I deserve better. God, I've done this. I went through that. I've sacrificed everything. I've given up my family. I left my home. I started another church. I went here. I went there. And God, why is this happening to my children? And why is this happening to my grandchildren? And why is this going on in my life? Why does it seem like? And then all of a sudden, we need to come and we just need to resign ourselves to say, God, it is well with my soul. I'm trying to preach to you this morning and let you know that no matter on your darkest day, Brother Grant, God has planted you for a purpose. You see, in my Bible, it tells me that there's a tree called the sycamore tree that a young little short man who was unable to see over the crowd, so he crawled up in that tree so he could see Jesus. What kind of a tree is God planting in your life? You say, well, you don't understand my financial problem, my health problems, the situation in my family. God is only interested in the tree, because somebody needs to climb up in there and somebody needs to find Jesus. What about the tree of faith? What about the mustard seed? What about that? Where's that tree at? And God is saying, I found somebody. I'm searching somebody who's going to have great faith, who's going to allow me to put them through some things so that people can find faith by looking at you. Does anybody feel the Holy Ghost here? I feel the Holy Ghost here. I feel the Holy Ghost here. I feel God in this place. I'm not playing on anybody. I'm not looking for response. I got a mandate from God. I fought with God and said, God, are you sure? Are you sure, God? Are you sure, God? He said, I planted them. 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 Listen to what the Lord is saying. If God be for us, who can be against us? Don't let it be said of you, and don't let it be said of this church, oh, how the mighty have fallen, but let it be said, oh, how the mighty have endured. When peace like a river attendeth my way. I like old songs. I know we like the newer songs. I have nothing against the newer songs either. But there's a lot of these old songs that were born out of blood, that were born out of what meant something. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm not being cruel. It's not about the beat. It's about the blood. It's about enduring. It's about enduring. Thomas Andrew Drozzi, back in 1932, was 32 years old. He was a fairly new husband, and his wife and him were living in a small apartment in Chicago Southside. One hot August afternoon, he had to go to St. Louis, where he was to be featured as a soloist at a large revival meeting. He didn't really want to go, and his wife was in the last month of her pregnancy with their first child, but a lot of people was expecting him in St. Louis. In St. Louis, where he was, the crowd called for him to sing again and again. When finally, he says this, when I finally sat down, a messenger boy ran up to me with a Western Union telegram. I ripped it open and pasted on the yellow sheet of paper were the words, your wife just died. He said, when he got back, he learned that his wife had given birth to a baby boy, and he said that he began to swing through a roller coaster of emotions, happy and sad, grief and joy. And yet that night, while he was there, the young baby died. He was falling apart, and for days he closed himself in, and he felt that God had done him some injustice. He didn't want to serve him anymore. He didn't want to write any more gospel songs. He said, I was so lost in grief that everyone was kind to me. He said, but I was closed in. But it was a quiet evening, he said, that he sat down at a piano, and his hands begin to browse over the keys. And with that, the Lord gave him this song. Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on. Let me stand. I am tired. I am weak.
I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord. Church, there's a song in you. There's lyrics in you that God wants to come out. There's lyrics in you that God wants to come out. Listen to what he said of Peter. He said, Satan hath desired to sift you like wheat. He says, but when you go through the squeezing process and you are converted, he said, when you have done that, he said, now you're going to be able to help the brethren. Because there's a song in you. There's a lyric in you that only you can sing, that only your life can endure. There's a song in you that God wants to bring out of you, that somebody around you, maybe a neighbor, maybe a son, maybe a daughter, maybe somebody in the church that needs to hear you sing your song of praise. Because at the end of the day, we're nothing more than planted trees that the Lord has placed. Jesus saw a fig tree afar off. Being hungered, he went to it. And he found nothing. He found nothing. What if Jesus is visiting us today? And he knows the tree that he has put in your life. And he's looking for the fruit thereof. Is he going to find the fruit of the very tree that he has planted in your life? Joy for mourning. Casting Crowns sings a song that says, I was sure by now you would have reached down, stepped in and saved the day, wiped my tears away. Has anybody ever heard that? Wipe my tears away. He says, and the song goes on, but it's still raining. And as the thunder rolls, he said, I could barely hear you whisper my name. But the chorus says, but I will praise you in this storm. I will praise you. How can you endure that? Mama's dying. Grandpa's gone. My kids, I don't even know where they are. My grandchildren are not even in church. How can I praise God in this? Because I'm a tree planted of the Lord. And if God designed me to be a fig, who am I to try to produce? If God designed me to be a fig, who am I to produce a mustard tree? In 1982, our house caught on fire. I was talking to one of the brethren here in the church. He said he goes over by Millville, Wisconsin. I said, I was living in Millville. Our house caught on fire in 1982. In the midst of that fire, we all got out safely with the exception of my grandma, who was burned. She had third-degree burns and smoke inhalation, and she spent weeks in the hospital in Madison. Had to go in and see her, you had to gown yourself completely up. And you guys know what I'm talking about. It's just a tragic mess. And one of the days we went in there, Grandma was just as smiling as could be. We said, Grandma, she couldn't hardly talk. We didn't know what was going on. It was a few days later before she was able to talk because of everything that they had going on. So we asked her, Grandma, why were you so happy and smiling that day? She said, didn't you see that guy standing at the foot of my bed? I said, we didn't see nobody, Grandma. She said, when the first day I opened my eyes, until I was ready to go home, that guy never left my bed. Oh, come on. Come on, dark cloud, move away and push aside, because the King of Glory is stepping in here. Listen to what I'm saying today. If you would just understand and see through the eyes of faith, you've got somebody walking beside you that's never left you, that's never forsaken you. He's always been there. He's always been there.
My grandma came to the Lord via her children that she sent to Sunday school. Her kids were in Sunday school, and finally she decided to go to church afterwards. But her kids were in church first, and then she went. My grandma could not read or write. And after she gave her heart to God, and God filled her with the Holy Ghost, and she ended up with a Bible, she took a Bible out behind her house and set it on a chunk of wood there where she was there, and she began to pray, and she began to call God, and she said, God, if you are real and you want me to follow you and you want me to be faithful, then you need to teach me how to read and how to write so I know what this Bible says. Well, my grandma was able to read and write after that. She began to work it. She began to work at it, and God began to teach her. So I'm fast forwarding after the fire. My grandma had to walk around with oxygen everywhere she went. She had these big old tanks she had to carry. Back in that day, they didn't have the small stuff, and she carried them everywhere. And grandma's testimony, after she had gone through all of that, she would say this almost every time she would testify. My grandma was just a simple lady. That's all she was. She would just stand up and testify, and she would say these words: until my dying day, I will be in church. Until my dying day, I will be faithful to God. I will go to church until my dying day. I wish to God people would still believe that nowadays and not leave church every time some little thing happen, or every time something, and just decide to stay home. Listen, you found God and peace in the house of God. You're not going to find it outside of the house of God. And it was June of 1993, a Sunday morning. We picked up Grandma and we brought her to church. And Grandma went up the steps, opened the door, and she went in the church. And Grandma began to gasp for air. She couldn't breathe. We got her a chair. She said, I got to go outside. She stepped outside. And that Sunday morning, my grandma went on to glory. But God honored her. Until my dying day, I will go to church. That's the kind of faith that I was raised on. Until my dying day, I will go to church. I will worship God. I will praise God. Brother Putnam, my grandma got the greatest healing. No more pain, no more sorrow, no more grief, no more heartache. She got the best kind of healing. But we got to realize today, what kind of tree are you going to be? I need to hurry. I'm sorry. But I feel the Holy Ghost here. I feel the Holy Ghost here. Oh, God, help us. Luther Burgess fell in love with a beautiful Kentucky girl. After the courtship, the two of them were married. And he began to pastor for a while, and since the age of 17, he gave his life to God to be a zealous preacher of the gospel. He was called upon by others to minister in their churches, and one morning in 1910, Luther left home to conduct some gospel meetings in another town, and while looking back, he saw his wife standing there at the gate with her baby in her arms and a boy on each side, all blowing kisses to Daddy as he went on to the next town. After the last meeting on his schedule, Luther went to his lodging there to sleep, but he was awakened by a phone call. He said, is this Mr. Bridgers? I said, yes, it is. He said, well, we are sorry to tell you that your house caught on fire tonight, and your wife and your children have all burned to death. He stood in shattered silence as he listened to what was being said, holding the receiver. He says it seemed to him as if the devil was telling him and laughing at him and saying, God doesn't love you. Are you going to worship the God like that, that would do things like this to your family? But he dropped to his knees, and by the telephone he prayed and said, Lord, I have preached this gospel to others. I have encouraged them that God would comfort them in their every hour of sorrow. Grant to me this day that same comfort. And with that prayer, the Lord responded with this. There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee. Peace be still. In all of life's ebbs and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. And I'm coming to a close with this. The three Hebrew children stood there. And they said to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, be it known to you this day that our God is able to deliver us from this fiery furnace. But then he said this, but if not, we will not bow down to you. Is there any trees that are ready to come up today? Is there any trees that are ready to be blossoming today? Is there anybody in here that's willing to stand with this preacher and said, you know what? I have stayed down long enough. I'm going to let my faith arise. I'm going to let my walk with God be true. I'm going to endure this. I'm going to hold on to this. I'm going to believe God. I'm going to be faithful to God. Listen, it doesn't matter whether your sun will come up tomorrow or whether it will end today. But at the end of the day, that God would receive all praise and glory in my life. Would you stand with me as we close? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen to this preacher today. Listen to this preacher today. However you end this thing, ministers, come on. But listen to this preacher today. At the end of the day. And if I'm out of line, Brother Grant, you give it to me. You read it to me. But at the end of the day, church, I want to say this as bold and as strong as I can. It ain't worth going to hell over. I said it ain't worth losing your salvation over. It ain't worth getting all pride and arrogantly and allow things to rise up and say, God, I was so faithful to you. How come you weren't faithful to me? It ain't worth walking out on God on. It ain't worth it. It ain't worth it. Precious Lord, take my hand. Is anybody today hurting, questioning, wondering, God, where you been in my life? God, where you been in my family? God, why are you allowing this to happen to me? God, why is this happening to my church? Would you just resign all of that for a moment? Just look at your life and respond back to him and say, Lord, whatever you desire to plant in me, may I never hinder it, but let it grow. May I be standing among those that you look and say, the trees that the Lord planted, that is what I have planted. That is what I have desired. Choice is yours. Brother Grant,
have our altar team come. If you need something from the Lord this morning, I want you to come down here to the front if you would. I know sometimes we say, well, Pastor, don't have to go down to the front. I just look at this. It's a sign of submission to the Lord. Say, Lord, I give myself to you. I want to thank you, Brother Jacobs, for such a powerful message this morning. If our worship team can begin singing as we open up this front. God desires to do a mighty work in your life this morning. Whatever that hurt is, whatever that pain is, whatever that frustration is.